स्थापितं यत्र भूतले स्वयं रूपः कथमिति स्वपदन्तिकम् पञ्चकावद्रव्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुरेव च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे वासुदेवाय
service of the Supreme Lord, whatever we want, मौत की इसको विलुजन माया श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु सत जीवरा स्वरूप हरे कृष्ण अनित्य दास चैतन्य चैतन्य मध्या 2108 Every living entity is an eternal servant of the Lord. Therefore, when one engages in the service of the Lord, he realizes the highest perfection of life. A faithful servant can fulfill any desire by the grace of the Master, and one who engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord has nothing to aspire for separately. All these desires are fulfilled simply by engaging constantly in the Lord's loving service. Lord Shiva shows us that any devotee can be successful simply by chanting the prayers which he has recited. Lingadaya purushom smat yatyat ichat asatvaram mahkitavitat supritat cheyasam ekabalabhat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the dear most objective of all auspicious benedictions. A human being who sings this song sung by me can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee being fixed in the Lord's devotional service can acquire whatever he wants from the Supreme Lord. So this is another Palashruti, which is very traditional. Palashruti means the fruit or the result of hearing certain pastimes or certain passages from the scripture. It explains what will you get from it. Right? Because whatever we do, it's a kind of natural question, what will I get from that? And so this is the result, one of the results, multiple results, but probably this is the one which encompasses everything. Right. All your desires will be fulfilled. Right. And it's very interesting how Krishna consciousness works, that we have so many desires when we start the process of Krishna consciousness, that probably if all of those desires would become fulfilled, it would just, you know, we would just burst, it would just tear us apart, all those desires, right? Because, you know, material life, material mind is so crazy and it has so many conflicting desires actually. And so, if all our material desires would be fulfilled, it would be crazy. I mean, in fact, the machinery of karma in the material world is just to fulfill people's material desires. And actually, something which makes people miserable is just another fulfillment of their desire. It's like an example that we are naturally hankering for attention, appreciation, service, right? But in order to get all this, in order to get attention from other people, in order to get appreciation, in order to get care, service, and all these nice things, one has to qualify oneself. One has to develop certain qualities, right? And that is something which requires a lot of work. And discipline and many other things. And this is something not everybody is interested to do. But actually, what is the prayer? Prayer is an expression of a desire, right? So actually, whatever desire we have, factually, this is already a prayer to the Supreme Lord, who is in the heart. Even if we don't express it verbally. So whatever the desire is, that's our prayer to the Lord. And the stronger the desire, the more persistent is the prayer. And so, just imagine, you know, like, one is constantly petitioning the Lord in the heart, Paramatma, please, I want attention from other people. I want their care. I want their sympathy. I want their service. And Paramatma says, fine. You have to, you know, follow certain discipline, purify yourself, etc., etc. Serve others, help others, etc. No, I don't want. I don't want to work on myself. I don't want to follow any discipline. I don't want to purify myself. I don't want to serve others. I just want for me. And you are the Supreme Lord. You have to fulfill my desire. And the Lord says, okay, fine. We'll have an option for you. That's called, you can get it on credit. Yes, sure. Let's do it. And then this man is driving somewhere and he gets into a horrible car crash. He survives it, but then he's lying in a hospital bed, you know, all the bones broken. And he's on this, you know, what you call it, stretchers or whatever. You know, they keep your hand, leg or hand hanging because you can't even put it on the hard surface, etc. And moaning and groaning and suffering in there. And yes, that's it. You cannot do anything for yourself. People are serving you. You get a lot of sympathy from people. And a lot of attention, oh my God, you know, even like medical practitioners, they come and say, well, how this guy survived? That's amazing, right? So, yes, Paramatma fulfilled your desire. What are you complaining about? You got everything you wanted. So, that's really important for us to understand that every single thing which is happening with us in this lifetime is nothing but the fulfillment of our desires. But because our desires are so crazy and we don't even know what we'll have to face when that desire will be fulfilled, we're suffering ourselves. So the cause of suffering is our own foolishness, is our own ignorance. And that's why the Lord is so merciful. And He's trying again, again, and again, personally, as Krishna, when He spoke Bhagavad Gita, or through His representatives, as He does that through Lord Shiva or other great saints and sages, He's trying to impart knowledge upon us, to help us understand what the hell is happening with us? And why are we trying so hard to be happy and then we face misery again, again, and again? And so, actually, it's very interesting that when we come across devotional service, it really causes mercy. And we cannot even realize how fortunate we are. Because what's happening, the Lord is so kind, He is purifying us of all these crazy conflicting desires in our consciousness. And so it's really amazing that, I mean, at least myself, I'm noticing that the further it is in devotional service, the more all the desires are fulfilled, and the less desire you have to enjoy all these things. That's amazing. The less you want, the more is given. Anyone notice that? Yes. The phenomenon? No, desires are decreasing, facilities, you know, or opportunities are opening up. So Krishna is giving, and you don't even want it, right? You're thinking, you know, like, that's something I used to strive for, and when I wanted that, I never got it. And now I kind of, you know, lost that desire, and suddenly it's coming. What do I do with it now? So this is how it's happening, but Krishna is doing that for purpose. And it's very interesting that Srila Prabhupada is giving this famous example of Dhruva Maharaj in the purpose. Dhruva Maharaj was so bent over the desire to gain kingdom, which is greater than his father and even his grandfather's kingdom, right? That he wanted to prove that he is superior. Kshatriyas, they like competition. And then, as we know, he followed the process of bhakti, which was given to him by Narad Muni, and when he finally achieved his perfection, through a lot of rigorous discipline, like withholding your breath for 6 months, my God, can't even imagine how that's possible. But he was, that's real Kshatriya spirit. Either victory or death. There is no third option, right? And so, because he followed everything very strictly, he got the darshan of the Supreme Lord. And then the Supreme Lord appeared in front of Dhruva and he said, anything you want, Dhruva. And of course the Lord knew very well what Dhruva wanted, right? Dhruva didn't have to kind of reiterate that. It was already known to the Lord. So the Lord was saying, yes, sure. Please ask. Now you've done everything, please ask. What do you want? And then Dhruva Maharaj says, as Prabhupada famously points out, no, I'm not interested in anything. Because now I've realized what a foolish desire is. Kingdom, all these things. Material things. The only thing I want is your service. And the Lord said, very good. You don't want kingdom, you don't want to be a king. Now you become a king. For how many? 60,000 years, 36,000 years. 36,000. Huh? 36,000 years. Long time, my God. Same thing happened to Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj also, after he got the darshan of Lord Nrsimhadev, and, you know, offered his prayers, and in his prayers he very clearly says that because Nrsimhadev told him, my dear Prahlad, it's my eternal pastime to fulfill all the desires of all living entities. You know, Krishna really enjoys that, fulfilling the desires, taking care of his children. And so he said, you really pleased me with your service. I want to fulfill any of your desire. What do you want? And Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't want any material things. I don't want this kingdom. I don't want power. I don't want wealth. I don't want fame. I have seen what kind of result it brings to because this is what my father used to have, right? My father used to have it all. And this was the result, so I'm not interested. And then what Nrsimhadev says, very good, you become the next king. So Arjuna Another example, right? In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he says, Kim Nora Jena Govinda, Kim Bhoga Jivitanava. I'm not interested, O Govinda, in this kingdom, in all material sanctification, Bhoga. If I have to kill for that my relatives and my superiors and so many other people. And then Krishna is telling him a little bit later in the 11th chapter that this kind of protest Arjuna brought about in the first chapter, but then chapters later, after explaining to Arjuna so many things, what Krishna tells him, Tasmat pavutista yashoma tasva jitva shatrun bukshvara janam sambritam mayavati nihitam purvamava nimittam atram bhava sarya sachin. This is 11:33. Very easy to remember. 1133. And so Krishna says, Arjuna, get up. Actually, utista literally means wake up. Right? Wake up means you're in illusion. You know, shed this illusion off. Utishta, tasmata utishta, yashola basva, you become famous. Chitva shatru, conquer your enemies, and bhunkshva rajam samrinam, and enjoy flourishing kingdom. All your enemies already killed. I already arranged everything. Nimitta matra bhava sarvasachin. You just have to be an instrument in my hand. So very surprising, right? Seems to be something very unjust on the part of the Supreme Lord. Those who strive, they never get. Those who don't want, they get everything. Why is that? Devotees who have no material desires, Krishna tells them, no, you have to have all these things. You have to have power, you have to have fame, you have to have wealth. And those people who, you know, kind of kill themselves for these things, they get nothing. Or if they get something, they, you know, are totally miserable. But devotees, they get all material facilities, and they can actually enjoy it. It's very interesting. When Bhavananda Prabhu shared, how Prabhupada gave him his name, Bhava Ananda. Right? And he was very happy when he heard this name, because Bhava means preliminary stage of prema, right? And Ananda means bliss. So bliss of Bhava, he was thinking, this is the meaning of my name. You know, one who enjoys the preliminary stage of love of God. And he told that to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhupada. You know, such a nice meaning of the name. And Prabhupada said, no. The meaning of your name is different. Bhava means ocean of material existence. And Ananda means one who enjoys. He said, Srila Prabhupada, what kind of name you gave him? One who enjoys in the material world. Prabhupada said, yes, devotee is the only one who can enjoy in the material world. Everybody else cannot, but devotees can enjoy even in the material world. So then the question is, why Krishna wants his devotees to have everything? Anyone? Yes. Because devotees will use it for Krishna. And in this way, you know, that by watering the root of the tree, the entire tree will get the benefit. So by using everything, by using all of the Lord's opulences in the Lord's service, the devotees will benefit the entire world. Hare Krishna. So, any comments, questions? say more on this topic because this verse is making very powerful statement that Lord Shiva says, such devotee being fixed in the Lord devotional service can acquire whatever he wants from the Supreme Lord. And it's very interesting that devotees, they don't want anything for themselves, right? Devotees. Nishkama, they have no desires. They are devoid of all desires. And again, for us, a perfect example, perfect model is Srila Prabhupada. And he never had any desires for himself. He was born in a pure Vaishnava family, so his whole life was just dedicated to the service of the Supreme Lord. And even when he was running his business, it's interesting, right? He didn't even have desire to marry. His father told him, you have to marry. And then he said, you know, these two girls you can choose from. And one was more attractive, the other one was less attractive. And Prabhupada said, which one I should marry? Which one I should choose? You know, it's like his father gives him choice. But he still is asking his father, which one should I choose? And Gaur Mohan then says, you choose the one which is less attractive, it will be easier for you to get sannyas. And he follows his father's advice. It's mind-blowing, right? So the possible, if someone has absolutely no desires or anything, right? Just purely does everything as a service for Krishna and for Vaishnavas, right? And then runs his business, and then his purpose, and it's been predicted in this chart, right, that he would become one of the wealthiest people in the world or in India. And then counting on that prediction, he started his business to make money. Why? Not to enjoy his own senses, but to support his Guru Maharaj's mission, right? Because if there is plenty of money, you can do a lot of things for Krishna. If there is no money, what can you do? Just sit somewhere in the corner and chant Hare Krishna, right? Maximum, you can only benefit yourself. You cannot do much for others. And so, yeah, he understood that Lakshmi is meant in the service of Narayana, and he tried very hard to get a lot of Lakshmi so that he could give it in the service to his Guru Maharaj. He wanted to use it for the mission. And he struggled so hard, and he was hardly getting anything, right? Because Krishna had another plan for him. And then, so we can understand that he never really wanted anything for himself. And he was not even attached. But when his business collapsed, he was even laughing. He said, oh, Krishna, he's always doing that. Always stealing things. So that's his mercy. And then his desire was his spiritual master's desire. And what was his spiritual master's desire? That's Krishna's desire, right? To liberate the entire world. To make sure that the whole world is glorifying Krishna. And so, Srila Prabhupada being affected by this strong desire of his spiritual master, he was thinking, scheming, how do I make the entire world Krishna conscious? And so he figured out, okay, I need to connect to those people who have the greatest power, the greatest influence, So which country? America, right? Why did he choose America? He, you know, it was so hard for him to get to America. It took him more than a month. He could get to London following in the footsteps of his godbrothers in quite a short time. So, but he did go. And then when he was asked, why did you choose America but not England? Prabhupada just joked. He said, oh, so many of my godbrothers failed in England. If I will fail, at least I will fail in a new place. But it was not like that. Prabhupada was very humble about himself, but we can see from every step he made. It was risk, but it was highly calculated risk. And yes, that's why America, that's why New York, that's why Manhattan, etc., etc. All these things were highly calculated. And we know that his bet was really successful. Because New Yorkers, you know, Americans, normally they have very big kind of ego by nature. And of all the Americans, particularly New Yorkers, they absolutely have no doubts that the entire planet belongs to them. And actually, it's interesting. One Prabhupada disciple, Harinam Chintamani, Mataji, she was born in New York. And she's, you know, New York has very interesting phenomenon, high energy, mega energy in the city. I mean, it's like very strange. And so people have power. New Yorkers have special powers by nature somehow. And she says the whole city is standing on some kind of special plate, granite plate or something, which emanates energy. And so that energy is charging everyone who lives there. But I mean, you can see for yourself that so many New Yorkers, they are really going global and they are like high level achievers, right? Super ambitious people. And so for Prabhupada, it was enough to just inspire a few New Yorkers. That was it. And New Yorkers did everything. I mean, historically, if you look at it. The movement was spread all over the world by the effort of Prabhupada's New York disciples. Right? Then they fired everyone else up about Krishna consciousness. Went far and wide, and you know, it's like you just read Shyamasundara Prabhu's book, Chasing the Rhino, right? That's typical New Yorkers mentality. You know, how many rhinos I can bag in for Srila Prabhupada? Okay, one rhino is done. You know, we started a new place, then the other one, okay, we started Ratha Yatras, Kikar Deities, etc., etc. You know, ambition, that's their name. And you need that. You need that in Krishna consciousness. And yeah, without ambition, nothing can be achieved. If you want nothing, you get nothing. This is how this world works. Like impersonalists, they want nothing. And they get nothing, right? A joke about Buddhist monk. What the Buddhist monk says when he comes to pizza parlor: make me one with everything. Or a joke about, you know, Dalai Lama's birthday. Someone published a cartoon, you know, they give Dalai Lama a big box, but the gift and it's totally empty, right? And he says, finally, I got nothing. I was striving to get nothing my whole life, by the way, I got nothing. So, yeah. If you practice Buddhism or Mayavada or impersonalism, you want nothing, you will get nothing. You go into Brahman and then even from there you fall down. So, but devotees are very ambitious and it's very interesting. Devotees are very humble for themselves, right? And these are again the examples, right? Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Arjuna, brightest examples in the scriptures. None of them wants anything for themselves. But when they realize that Krishna wants them to have everything for him, they go all the way and they, you know, sacrifice everything to achieve as much as they can in this lifetime for Krishna. And devotees, you know, the higher the devotee is, you can see the more ambition, the more ambitious devotee is. Like, it's very funny how, if you look at Prabhupada's timeline, how his ambitions grew with time, right? First, he wanted to start the mission, wanted to start the center in Jhansi, right? League of Devotees. Failed. That ambition failed. What was the next step? Okay, I failed locally, let me go nationally. Let me preach to Gandhi, Nehru, Shastri, and all other, you know, high-level politicians. So that's really anti, what you call it, counter-intuitive thinking. Right? I failed locally. What do I do now? Okay, let me go nationally. Failed nationally. What do I do next? Go internationally and succeed. And my conviction, Krishna made him fail locally and nationally because he had much greater potential and Krishna didn't want him to waste time on small things. He didn't want him to sweat the small stuff. And so then he came with the ambition of making Americans into Krishna's devotees. And he came at the time when the entire America was focused on two slogans, right? They had two mottos. One was sex, drugs, rock and roll. And the other one, don't trust anyone who is older than 30. And here comes Srila Prabhupada, not just older than 30, older than 70, right? Because he turned 70 on the ship. And he tells them no sex, because, you know, it's like no illicit sex for Americans. Like Hayek Riva was asking, you know, that. So Prabhupada, you're saying that illicit sex should not be done, then what does it mean that you have illicit sex? And Prabhupada said, only with your married wife, and only once a month, and only for the procreation. And Hayek Riva says, why do you need to marry them? So much trouble. And Prabhupada said, you have understood rightly. No need. Like that. So for Americans, no illicit sex pretty much is equivalent to no sex, right? So then Prabhupada tells all of them, you know, like all of these guys, they're standing there and shouting, sex, drugs, rock and roll, sex, drugs, rock and roll, millions. And here, like, one elderly Bengali stands and he says, no sex, no drugs, no rock and roll also. If you want some music, chant Hare Krishna. And it's amazing. It's like, this is what these people want. This is their desire. And Krishna is fulfilling everybody's desires, right? Whoever wants to be Krishna conscious, there is a place for these people. There is a country, it's called India. India is so full of holy places, and whoever wants to be Krishna conscious, that's the best place to become Krishna conscious, right? But those who absolutely don't want to be Krishna conscious, they go as far as from India as possible geographically. And where is that? You take the measurements. It's America. America is the totally opposite place to India geographically, right? And Krishna gave them that option. Okay, you don't want me, you just want to enjoy life without any restrictions. Okay, this is your country, you enjoy that. And then Prabhupada goes there and he tells, okay, now you have to become Hare Krishna. And for Krishna it's like confusing, right? What he is doing? I gave this country to the people who don't want to become Krishna conscious. Now he comes and he wants them to become Krishna conscious. How that will work out? You know, this is my principle. I give freedom to people. I give them choice. And he wants to go against their choice. And then Krishna sees that this devotee is not giving up. He is ready to die, but he's not going to turn his back. So, and he's very sincere, and he actually tries to do what I really want. Okay, let me go against my own, you know, setup and help him to influence those people and make them Krishna conscious. That's amazing. But Srila Prabhupada had a desire which was completely opposite to the desires of all of these millions of people. And Krishna fulfilled his desire. So that's the power of the devotee. That's the ambition of the devotee. And so Srila Prabhupada is a perfect role model for all of us to understand and follow in his footsteps. So, any questions? Yes.
Maharaj spoke about how, as devotees, we should desire, we should be ambitious in our life, and when we are trying to preach, we have a desire to make the other person devotee, but then on the other side, they are so ambitious and their desire is not to become devotee and to enjoy the material world. So then, the conflict of interest, conflict of desire, then how does Krishna consciousness work? How does Krishna reciprocate with one's desire and not others?
Yeah, actually we mentioned that, what Srila Prabhupada said, only devotees can really enjoy this world. And so, actually, there is no conflict of interest. People want to enjoy it, and they want to have everything in this world and enjoy it. And the only real option is becoming Krishna conscious. Because by using all the opulences of the Lord in his service, one can really enjoy it without getting entangled. You can see that, you know, the entire Bhagavatam is full of those descriptions. Like, who is the person who gets most material enjoyment in this world? It's king, right? Kings, they have, you know, like, what is enjoyment? Have huge house. So kings have biggest houses, palaces, right? opposite sex, kings have like thousands of wives sometimes, right? And opulence and fame and power and whatever, you know, every single enjoyment you can think of, and it's all given to one person, king, right? And who are the most outstanding examples of the Vaishnavas described in the Bhagavatam? Kings, right? Vaishnava kings. But they were Raja Rishis, and that's why they could actually enjoy in the material world. And so you can see that what's the greatest ambition of people in the Western world? You know, whom are they trying to emulate? Kings, right? Everybody's dreaming of living a royal life. So yes, you want royal life and real enjoyment? Here you go. Read Bhagavatam. And read how you can really enjoy royal life in the material world without any troubles. Worship the Supreme Lord. Dedicate everything to Him. Yes. If you look at it, I mean, Bhagavad Gita was not really spoken to a Brahmana. It was spoken to a Kshatriya, Arjuna. Why? Because Brahmanas, they don't really take responsibility for things. They just accumulate the knowledge and pass on the knowledge to somebody else. Accumulate knowledge, pass on the knowledge, like that. They just the transition point. And who is putting knowledge in practice? Kshatriyas. Right? That's why Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, of humans, I am the king. And so, because king has topmost responsibility in the world. And yes, that this is Krishna consciousness. If you carry full responsibility, and if you really look after others and help them to solve all their problems, both material and spiritual, by practical application of Krishna consciousness. Yes? Anyone else? Yes?
Life is so fast, and we have a desire. We chant nicely, we serve the deities and obey them nicely with our heart and feeling. We don't have that much time. So it's always cut to cut. So like I'm talking about myself, I have a desire to serve nicely with my heart, connecting to the Lord, chant nicely, and cook. But it's always so much, you know, in a rush, because we are the time is so less, and there are so many things in that much time. So I don't know, now I feel that maybe this desire will be satisfied when I go back to Godhead after many jhanmas, because I can't see that happening, and the way things are going. So I don't know whether, we have the desire. So Krishna is seeing, and does He accept the service which is done in so much rush? Although we do have the desire, but we are not able to chant with focus, because there are so many things happening in our mind, so many things to do, and any service we want to do with our heart, but we are not able to do because of our, I don't know whether it's mind or just a past karma, but which is making us bound by so many things happening. So does He accept it in a proper in a way which we want to give, or this person is doing in rush, but although we have the desire to serve nicely, but we are not able to.
Well, of course, Krishna is accepting our intentions rather than physical things, because it's the question of our relationship with Him. And in a sense, if you cannot really like chant or serve Krishna in the ideal way you really want, but you have a desire for that, and you feel bad that you cannot do that, so the only option is to develop your love in separation from the Lord. But I do feel that it doesn't have to be like that for all the devotees, and we can understand that it is only due to the fact that devotees are involved in this modern day slavery, which is called job, which is very hard work, takes a lot of hours, and only gives us enough to maintain ourselves, and we cannot stop. That, you know, like financial freedom is something which is not really, doesn't really seem to be attainable. Unless you become really, really old, maybe, and even that is questionable. And so that's why, you know, I'm convinced that whoever can do that should shift from employment to self-employment. Because, you know, of course it takes more effort and more responsibility, but it gives you opportunity to achieve financial freedom in much shorter time. And once you have that, you're free to do whatever you want for Krishna. And you wouldn't have to rush anywhere.
I was thinking this morning whether Krishna accepts sometimes, or maybe we are not even fit to offer to him, because he is the topmost personality, and I'm nothing. And then I remembered about 1 year when I went in my country, and it was like -20, -30, and they did not have much vegetables, they didn't have anything, and I had already offered bread. I didn't have anything to offer, so I was thinking I needed something warm, like a one this goat chilies, cream chilies. I was thinking I need that to warm up a little bit, and I was thinking how I'm going to offer this, and I did not have even proper food, bowls, because there everything was contaminated. My family was eating meat. I couldn't even cook, so I was thinking, I offered my cup, I was thinking, sorry Krishna, this is not offerable, I have only chili, and I'm offering to you my cup, but it's my duty to offer to you, I don't know what else to do. And but please take this chili with some food someone else is offering, because you can't eat all of this chili. And next day I went to the temple, and I don't know what it was, then I had some service, and then we sat with a few devotees to have breakfast. And one of the devotees, I didn't tell anyone about that chili, and one of the devotees started telling the story while he was serving the prasadam. He was saying how Madhava Yashoda was chasing Krishna, and he was running everywhere in the courtyard, red in the face. And he said, you know what happened? He was eating only chilies. And I was like, oh my God, he has accepted these chilies. And he's telling me he got really hot because of eating these chilies. So I was kind of convinced that he really accepts.
Well, I'm not exactly sure about chili, because chili is never offered in any traditional temples. You go to any traditional temple in India, it can be Jagannath Puri, Tirupati, Sri Rangam, even Radharaman in Vrindavan. You try what they could prepare, and they prepare full meal, and oftentimes devotees just get sweets. But if you talk to them, you could try like full meal they offer to Radharaman, you will not find even a pinch of chili in that. For spicing up, they use ginger, they use black pepper, but never chili, because chili is a foreign product which was brought to India quite recently, and traditionally, you know, it's kind of the addictive product in the same category as tea, because Indians, they never drank tea. If these were British who made them addicted to tea by their tricks, right? That they wanted to Indians to drink tea so that they would be able to sell them tea. This is what Prabhupada explains. And so, and the Indians didn't want to drink tea. But then what they did is they started paying them for drinking tea. Okay, you take a cup of tea, we'll pay you. And then they started drinking just to make little money, and then they became addicted. And after a while they started giving them out for free, not without paying, and after a while they started charging them. So this is how the whole country started drinking tea. So Indians, they never drank tea, they never took any chili, they never did all this nonsense, they never smoked. You know, the whole country was very pious and very pure without all these things. So, but yeah, I mean, if you need it as a medicine or something, Krishna can sanctify that. So Krishna can do anything. But this story that Krishna was eating chili seems to be a little bit of imagination on the part of the devotee. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.